This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning, Friday the 18th of October, and over in the US, earnings season is well underway as investors digest what seem to be mostly positive results. Now, the Dow Jones closed up 0.1%, the S&P 500 closed up 0.3%, and the Nasdaq was up 0.4%.
Okay, in Asia, the Nikkei 225 closed down 0.1%, the Shanghai Composite unchanged, Hang Seng was up 0.7%, Kospi down 0.2%, STI down 0.3%, and KLCI unchanged.
So for more on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited. Thank you for joining us, Tim. Now, Brexit uncertainties are at an all-time high after Boris Johnson's Northern Irish allies, the DUP, warned they won't support his proposed deal. Now, today is the last day they'll be able to get a deal approved. What are you preparing for?
You know, I think it would be nice if it does happen. And look, could you imagine if they do that and then there's some resolution to China? But I think that if they don't, I think it's going to get, they're still going to leave. But I think there's a chance because it looks like there's an opening here. And it looks like the EU is fine. But the British Parliament, you know, that's been rough business. But maybe it's different. So I'm a little more optimistic. But if it doesn't happen, it's going to be a hard Brexit next month.
Meanwhile, we look at US and China news. There's been some talk that we'll actually see an agreement put to text soon. So have you adjusted your strategy as a result now that the landscape of the trade seems to have changed?
Yeah, you know, I think the trade, when the market started not responding to trade the way it used to, I think there was some sense of change. But look, I think China needs to have it. Trump certainly needs to have it. So I think there's going to be at least a de-escalation and maybe some improvement. And for that, I think it's a positive.
Yeah, Tim, U.S. earnings season has hit the shore. So are you changing your call on any of the companies that have released their numbers so far?
You know, not really. I mean, I think I'm less in favor of tech and more in favor of, you know, here we go, the value play. That's sort of tough, but I think that's going to come in. I think like Bank of America and J.P. Morgan had tremendous earnings. And I think when you look at especially Bank of America's investment banking revenue, I mean, that was very positive, and those are cheap stocks. And then I know Warren Buffett increased his stake in, or wants to increase his stake in Bank of America. So I think the earnings from the side that have been beaten down, I'm still looking at those sectors, sensitive, you know, economic sensitive companies and so forth, and maybe less on tech. But yeah, I think overall, I think I'm encouraged, not only lower bar, but I think I'm encouraged going forward by the earnings season. It's no disaster.
And as you said, Tim, you know, so far results season has been mostly positive. But do you think this kind of upbeat trend will continue in the next week and push markets higher? Or will the reality of slowing global growth start to rub off on the initial exuberance?
You know, I think that it's turning. I think that worm, so to speak, is turning. And I think global growth has bottomed. And again, if Brexit comes in and we get some progress on China, I think that's a very bullish event. And you know, the thing that really struck me is that sentiment was as bearish in the market this past several weeks as it was in late December. You know, and I mean, look where we are. So I think there's a lot of room for positive surprises here. But, you know, listen, volatility is still with us. But I sense the market trades better on bad news and good on good news. So that tells me a market's turning, I think.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim. And that was Tim Mulholland of TJM Limited in Chicago. Fairly optimistic, I would say, actually, on the whole, because he does think that there's a chance that, you know, a Brexit could come through. And if that's the case, you know, it could have a positive result because he's of the opinion that the fall in global growth has bottomed out.
Yeah, he does also think that the US and China will come to the table and maybe come to some sort of agreement because they both need it.
Yeah, so the best summation of where the markets are comes, I think, from the Morgan Stanley Global Fixed Income Chief Investment Officer, a guy called Michael Kushmar, quoted in Bloomberg this morning, saying that, quote-unquote, there's no doubt that there's been some de-escalation of risks and global political risks relative to a fortnight ago, but it may just be a false dawn. He doesn't think that his crystal ball is clear at the moment. So I think that's a very nice summation of where markets are.
Yeah, for sure. There's still a lot of volatility and unanswered questions, right? Because we do see slowdown, particularly coming out of Europe. And even in this region, Singapore just averted a technical recession. Hong Kong, the Carrie Lam has said they are in a technical recession. So who knows what numbers, what the data will show in the next few weeks.
Well, talking about Hong Kong, of course, the focus today also comes back to China's GDP. So I think third quarter numbers come out, September industrial production, and of course, retail sales data. So all those will be a nice barometer of China's economy.
But taking a look also over in the Middle East, there have been some international headlines coming out of Saudi Arabia because the highly anticipated Saudi Aramco IPO has now been postponed. Now, the official launch was originally scheduled for October 20th. That would have been 2 days. It may now be delayed a few weeks. And this gives investors time to take in Aramco's third quarter results into their pre-IPO assessments.
Of course, they are still struggling to meet the $2 trillion valuation that the company is seeking. And of course, this is a Bloomberg story citing one person familiar with the situation as opposed to one person unfamiliar with the situation. But it is what it is. And of course, this is a sudden delay which has disrupted this carefully choreographed plan, right? It's been on the cards for forever, basically, right?
It's been postponed multiple times.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I think they got cold feet in the wake of WeWork and all the associated IPO performances.
I mean, if we just review the issues that they had, right, there was discussion of where the secondary listing should be, whether it was going to be in New York. I mean, there was even talk of London, and then the red herring, Tokyo, right? Then added to that was the valuation. Should it be 2 trillion, 1.5 based on current oil price? I think market thought 2 trillion was way too much.
They still think it's way too high.
Yeah, but this feeds into the Saudi Arabia's plans to reform its economy, right? Like, do you realize that one of the things they've recently done is to use tourism as a means to attract FDI. I was shocked, you know, because Saudi Arabia isn't exactly very open to foreigners, right?
Well, you get to New York, Paris, London.
And then Riyadh. Yeah, you can add that to the list.
There was also some concern over whether or not they would be restricting who could purchase their shares, right?
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a question mark, because if you don't allow foreign investors to come into your IPO, how on earth are you going to hit $2 trillion in valuation?
Yeah, friends and family, basically, right?
Friend and family discount, is it? I think it was also a lot of some of these funds, I think even the Singapore GIC or is it Temasek, they were like worried about all this ESG, right? Whether they should go into oil and gas companies because there's this move towards environmental companies, and Aramco doesn't really fit into that profile. I think Norges won't participate.
Yeah.
So if you don't have these big funds supporting your IPO, you know, 2 trillion seems like a impossible dream.
So all those uncertainties, I think, has led Riyadh to decide that they want to do a listing only in, you know, in a local listing in Riyadh, right? Essentially, if taking a U-turn from last time, I think New York was being discussed, as you say, Singapore was even being discussed, even try these things, right?
Yeah, well, let's see whether they really do list and at what valuations, because the listing in Riyadh will be a test case.
Yeah, and I don't think it happened before February, at least that's what the media are saying.
But also on the subject of IPOs, there are a number of other IPOs that are scheduled soon, and Airbnb is one of them. They're meant to go public next year, and a person familiar with the matter, so this is a CNBC reporter.
Is it one or two this time?
And are they familiar or unfamiliar?
Familiar.
I would wager that they are familiar as opposed to unfamiliar. Now, they've said that it has Airbnb has $3 billion on their balance sheet, and apparently they've also never touched their $1 billion worth of a line of credit. And so they're saying now that the company's cash position could quell investors' worries that Airbnb would be yet another WeWork.
Well, it depends who you ask, right? Some shareholders might say, or some investors might say, why you never use your money? Why you never put it to work? You could grow faster. Lazy balance sheet, right?
Yeah.
You can never satisfy fund managers, right, Wong Xiaoning?
Are you looking at me, Kosu Chang?
Yes.
We want more profits, okay? I mean, it's that delicate balance, right? Between, and you want a nice return on equity. So yes, it's true. If you have too much capital and you don't put it to good use, then why in the first place?
Can I put money into you in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the Airbnb model is different from a WeWork model. So, hey, this might be an interesting IPO.
Yeah.
Indeed. And right now, though, we are heading into a few messages for you. And then after that, we'll be back to take a look at some local stories. So keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning, Friday the 18th of October. And over in the US, earnings season is well underway as investors digest what seem to be mostly positive results. Now, the Dow Jones closed up 0.1%. The S&P 500 closed up 0.3% and the Nasdaq was up 0.4%.
Okay, in Asia, the Nikkei 225 closed down 0.1%, the Shanghai Composite unchanged, Hang Seng was up 0.7%, Kospi down 0.2%, STI down 0.3%, and KLCI unchanged.
So for more on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited. Thank you for joining us, Tim. Now, Brexit uncertainties are at an all-time high after Boris Johnson's Northern Irish allies, the DUP, warned they won't support his proposed deal. Now, today is the last day they'll be able to get a deal approved. What are you preparing for?
You know, I think it would be nice if it does happen. And what could you imagine if they do that and then there's some resolution to China? But I think that if they don't, I think it's going to get... They're still going to leave, but I think there's a chance because it looks like there's an opening here. And it looks like the EU is fine, but the British Parliament, you know, that's been rough business, but maybe it's different. So I'm a little more optimistic, but if it doesn't happen, it's going to be a hard Brexit next month.
Meanwhile, we look at US and China news. There's been some talk that we'll actually see an agreement put to text soon. So have you adjusted your strategy as a result now that the landscape of the trade seems to have changed?
Yeah, you know, I think the trade, when the market started not responding to trade the way it used to, I think there was some sense of change. But look, I think China needs to have it. Trump certainly needs to have it. So I think there's going to be at least a de-escalation and maybe some improvement. And for that, I think it's a positive.
Yeah, Tim, U.S. earnings season has hit the your shore. So are you changing your call on any of the companies that have released their numbers so far?
You know, not really. I mean, I think I'm less in favor of tech and more in favor of, you know, here we go, the value play. That's been a tough, but I think that's going to come in. I think like Bank of America and J.P. Morgan had tremendous earnings. And I think when you look at especially Bank of America's investment banking revenue, I mean, that was very positive. And those are cheap stocks. And then I know Warren Buffett increased his stake in or wants to increase his stake in Bank of America. So I think the earnings from the side that have been beaten down, I'm still looking to those sectors, sensitive, you know, economic sensitive companies and so forth, and maybe less on tech. But yeah, I think overall, I think I'm encouraged, not only lower bar, but I think I'm encouraged going forward by the earnings season. It's no disaster.
And as you said, Tim, you know, so far results season has been mostly positive. But do you think this kind of upbeat trend will continue in the next week and push markets higher? Or will the reality of slowing global growth start to rub off on the initial exuberance?
You know, I think that it's turning. I think that worm, so to speak, is turning. And I think global growth has bottomed. And again, if Brexit comes in and we get some progress on China, I think that's a very bullish event. And you know, the thing that really struck me is that sentiment was as bearish in the market this past several weeks as it was in late December, you know, and I mean, look where we are. So I think there's a lot of room for positive surprises here, but you know, look, some volatility still with us, but I sense the market trades better on bad news and good on good news. So that tells me a market's turning, I think.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim. And that was Tim Mulholland of TJM Limited in Chicago. Fairly optimistic, I would say, actually, on the whole, because he does think that there's a chance that, you know, a Brexit could come through. And if that's the case, you know, it could have a positive result because he's of the opinion that the fall in global growth has bottomed out.
Yeah, he does also think that the US and China will come to the table and maybe come to some sort of agreement because they both need it.
Yeah, so the best summation of where the markets are comes, I think, from the Morgan Stanley Global Fixed Income Chief Investment Officer, a guy called Michael Kushmar, quoted in Bloomberg this morning, saying that, quote-unquote, there's no doubt there's been some de-escalation of risks and global political risks relative to a fortnight ago, but it may just be a false dawn. He doesn't think that his crystal ball is clear at the moment. So I think that's a very nice summation of where markets are.
Yeah, for sure. There's still a lot of volatility and unanswered questions, right? Because we do see slowdown particularly coming out of Europe. And mm-hmm. even in this region, Singapore just averted a technical recession. Hong Kong, the Carrie Lam has said they are in a technical recession. So who knows what numbers, what the data will show in the next few weeks.
Well, talking about Hong Kong, of course, the focus today also comes back to China's GDP. So I think third quarter numbers come out, September industrial production, and of course, retail sales data. So all those will be a nice barometer of China's economy. is.
But taking a look also over in the Middle East, there have been some international headlines coming out of Saudi Arabia because the highly anticipated Saudi Aramco IPO has now been postponed. Now, the official launch was originally scheduled for October 20th. That would have been 2 days. It may now be delayed a few weeks. And this gives investors time to take in Aramco's third quarter results into their pre-IPO assessments.
Of course, they are still struggling to meet the $2 trillion valuation that the company is seeking. And of course, this is a Bloomberg story citing one person familiar with the situation as opposed to one person unfamiliar with the situation. But it is what it is. And of course, this is a sudden delay which has disrupted this carefully choreographed plan, right? It's been on the cards for forever, basically, right?
It's been postponed multiple times.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I think they got cold feet in the wake of WeWork and all the associated IPO performances.
I mean, if we just review the issues that they had, right, there was discussion of where the secondary listing should be, whether it was going to be in New York. I mean, there was even talk of London, and then the red herring, Tokyo, right? Then added to that was the valuation. Should it be 2 trillion, 1.5 based on current oil price? I think market thought 2 trillion was way too much.
They still think it's way too high.
Yeah, but this feeds into the Saudi Arabia's plans to reform its economy, right? Like, do you realize that one of the things they've recently done is to use tourism as a means to attract FDI. I was shocked, you know, because Saudi Arabia isn't exactly very open to foreigners, right?
Well, you get New York, Paris, London,
and then Riyadh. Yeah, you can add that to the list.
There was also some concern over whether or not they would be restricting who could purchase their shares, right?
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a question mark, because if you don't allow foreign investors to come into your IPO, how on earth are you going to hit $2 trillion in valuation?
Yeah, friends and family, basically, right?
Friend and family discount, isn't it? I think it was also a lot of some of these funds. I think even the Singapore GIC or is it Temasek, they were like worried about all this ESG, right? Whether they should go into oil and gas companies, because there's this move towards environmental companies, and Aramco doesn't really fit into that profile. I think Norges won't participate.
Yeah.
So if you don't have these big funds supporting your IPO, you know, 2 trillion seems like a impossible dream.
So all those uncertainties, I think, has led Riyadh to decide that they want to do a listing only in, you know, in a local listing in Riyadh, right? Essentially, if taking a U-turn from last time, I think New York was being discussed. As you say, Singapore was even being discussed. Even try these things, right?
Yeah, well, let's see whether they really do list and at what valuations, because the listing in Riyadh will be a test case.
Yeah, and I don't think it happened before February. At least that's what the media are saying.
But also on the subject of IPOs, there are a number of other IPOs that are scheduled soon, and Airbnb is one of them. They're meant to go public next year. And a person familiar with the matter, so this is a CNBC reporter.
Is it one or two this time?
And are they familiar or unfamiliar?
Familiar.
I would wager that they are familiar as opposed to unfamiliar. Now, they've said that it has Airbnb has $3 billion on their balance sheet, and apparently they've also never touched their $1 billion worth of a line of credit. And so they're saying now that the company's cash position could quell investors' worries that Airbnb would be yet another WeWork.
Well, it depends who you ask, right? Some shareholders might say, or some investors might say, why you never use your money? Why you never put it to work? You could grow faster.
Lazy
right?
balance sheet.
Lazy balance sheet, right?
Yeah.
You can never satisfy fund managers, right, Wong Xiaoning?
Are you looking at me, Koh Siu Chuang?
Yes.
We want more profits, okay? I mean, it's that delicate balance, right? And you want a nice return on equity. So yes, it's true. If you have too much capital and you don't put it to good use, then why in the first place?
Can I put money to you in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the Airbnb model is different from a WeWork model. So, hey, this might be an interesting IPO.
Yeah.
Indeed. And right now, though, we are heading into a few messages for you. And then after that, we'll be back to take a look at some local stories. So keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.